If you don't know, a large contingent of us were down at camp this week. That's why my voice sounds the way it does, because I did that a lot. It was an amazing week at camp. We had such a good time. We had almost 70 third through fifth graders, plus or minus a little bit on the age. We had 20 first time campers. Yeah. 20 small children who've never been to camp or away from their parents very long. It was fantastic. I'm like, if I'm up here at one point today and I just get a 1,000-yard stare, that's why. It was really awesome. We got home Friday night about 8 o'clock. I got home just in time to turn on the United States FIFA game to see us score the fourth goal. Woo, USA! And I tried to yell. I tried to yell that we scored. I was like, yeah! And my wife just laughed at me. It was funny. Yeah, that was Friday night. Yesterday, my wife and I went and attended our 25th class reunion. Yeah, there was a lot of old people there. I don't know if you guys have ever attended a class reunion and you saw a bunch of people with gray hair. You're like, oh. And I had somebody come to me. They're like, how do you look exactly the same? And I'm like, Jesus, that is how I look. But yeah, the highlight of this week was camp with 70 brand new, or 70 third through fifth graders. I got to tell stories every night to get them to fall asleep. Tuesday night, they were really wound up, so I told them the story of Job. And if you've ever read the story of Job, it'll put you to sleep. And it did. And it did. So yeah, camp was awesome. My voice sounds like this. My body hurts, you know. But on a completely unrelated topic, today we're talking about no pain, no gain. Not really completely unrelated. My name's Mike, if you don't know me. I'm one of the guys that's up here. It's really good to see all of you. Like I said, I'm going to stumble over my words this morning. Coffee and Jesus. Coffee and Jesus. Let's go. That was my motto all week. You've all heard the phrase, no pain, no gain, right? And if you look at the title of the sermon series, you see the pursuit of happiness. So why are we talking about pain when we're talking about happiness this morning? That's a really good question. Essentially, everything that you would want to achieve in life is going to require some sort of pain, some sort of sacrifice. I want to lose weight. I want to lose weight. I cannot lose weight by being comfortable. I cannot lose weight by sitting on my couch. Well, I guess I could, but I wouldn't eat. But it's a slow pain. It's a slow loss of weight if I'm doing that. The wisest and best way to lose weight is to work out. But if you haven't worked out in a while, whew. I remember a little while ago, I decided I wanted to get under 7 minutes in my mile. And I think I've talked about it up here before. And I did. I successfully achieved it. But I also do 100 squats a day. And so I did 100 squats. And then I ran a mile in 6 minutes and 49 seconds. Something that's almost 300 pounds should not move that quick. But I did. Can I tell you, I was a little sore that day. But I was a lot more sore the next day and the third day. And I thought I was going to die. I was like, Jesus, take me now. I'm ready. Come home. It's all right. My wife and my daughters will figure it out. The fridge is full right now. They got a week. They got a week, God. But then on like the fourth day, I started feeling better. And like my legs started looking better. And I was like, all right, maybe I can do this again. And I did it again. And I promptly had a second asthma attack. It was fine. There was a little bit of pain with working out. If I want to lose weight, I should say, no pain, all the gain in that context. But what about if I want to advance in the workplace? What if I want to advance in the workplace? There's going to be a little bit of pain. There's going to be some sort of sacrifice. I'm going to have to learn something, and my brain's going to hurt. I'm going to have to maybe sacrifice a little bit of extra time if I want to advance. I tell my daughters, anything worth doing is going to be hard. And it's going to cause some sort of pain. Anything worthwhile, anything worth doing is going to be hard and it's going to cause some sort of pain. In reference to the sermon series, the question comes along, can I be happy and in pain at the same time? Because there's the phrase, life sucks and then you die. We are not guaranteed no pain on this side of the dirt. We're only guaranteed no pain on the other side. So in this world, you will have trouble. We sing that song. And there is going to be pain. But if we want to mature, if we want to grow, we're going to have pain and we should be aware of that. I want to talk about real quick, if you got a bulletin, there's some notes in your bulletin, you can follow along. Real quick, we're going to talk about three types of pain. Just so we can be clear of these three types of pain. I'm going to rapid fire. Your first one's physical pain. It's what I'm feeling right now. Right there. Right there. Physical pain. That's obvious, right? I work out, my muscles are going to hurt. I go for a run, my feet are going to hurt. I spend 8 hours in 100 degree weather and then go spend 10 minutes in a walk-in freezer, I'm going to have a migraine. That is physical pain. There is physical pain. The second type of pain, there's emotional pain. One of our daughter's friends is probably going to break up with her boyfriend. She's going through some emotional pain. Something happens to one of your kids. You feel emotional pain because they're going through something. The loss of a family member or a close friend, you're going to feel emotional pain. There's other places where we have emotional pain, but you guys get it. Third type of pain, spiritual pain. Spiritual pain. And we're going to read a good chunk of Isaiah 53 here, and then we're going to talk about spiritual pain. Starting in verse 1 of Isaiah 53, it says, "Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation who considered that he was cut off of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercessions for the transgressors." This is Isaiah 53, 1 through 12. And Isaiah the prophet, years before Jesus was even born, is talking about Jesus and what's about to happen to Jesus. And we see in this passage, Jesus going through some pain. And we know it's about the cross. And I have the liberty of highlighting my own notes. In my notes, the physical, emotional, and spiritual, all different colors. And I went through Isaiah and I highlighted every part where Jesus is going through pain. In the highlight, that emotional, spiritual, and physical are. And there, I would show you, but you probably have eyes like mine. You won't be able to see, but most of that passage is in multiple colors because Jesus went through physical pain and Jesus went through emotional pain, but he also goes through spiritual pain in here. So it talks about how he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows and he was smitten by God. It talks about how he was stricken for the transgression of my people and how his soul makes an offering for guilt. He bears my iniquity. He bore my sin. My sin and your sin separated him from God because my sin and your sin separates us from God. And Jesus takes that on him and becomes the sacrificial lamb for us. And it sounds really sad. It sounds really hard. It sounds painful. And it was. And it was painful. But there's these three types of pain that Jesus goes through in this passage. Yet, and there's a yet in that passage. That yet is the most beautiful word, I think, in this whole passage. Yet. Yet he finds satisfaction in his pain. And in the New Testament, we read this in the book of Hebrews. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings to us closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. And if you would, underline this. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. If you read Isaiah 53 and you read Hebrews 12 together, you see this beautiful picture of happiness in pain, of joy in pain. Jesus knew what was coming from the moment Eve and Adam ate the fruit. God was making a way from that moment for us to be reunited. God knew Isaiah 53 was going to be written, and God knew that Jesus was going to go to the cross. And Jesus looks at that cross with joy, with me in his mind and with you in his mind. And he says, I'm going to do that. I'm going there because this is the way for me to have a relationship. There can be no gain without pain. And Jesus went through pain, and by his pain, we gain. I'm teaching this lesson this morning from the point of view of a Christian. Because as Christians in Hebrews, it told us to keep our eyes set on Christ. Keep our eyes set on Christ. Look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Because he looked at pain with joy and happiness. I knew Sunday morning last week, when we're at camp and I burnt myself on the oven, I knew that I was going to hurt by Friday night. Actually, I knew I was going to hurt by Monday night. But let's just fast forward. I knew I was going to hurt by Friday night, but I knew it was going to be worth it. I knew I was sleeping on a mattress that was that thick. I knew I was sleeping in a 90-degree cabin. I knew I was going to have kids test my patience. I knew I was going to have JCs who were going to be tired and crabby. I knew it. I knew. But I also knew there was joy. That we are going to get to speak the word of God to all these kids, some who don't get to hear it. And by the end of the week, I just got to tell this story. There's this little girl named Lyric, and I feel really bad for her because the San Antonio Spurs lost last night. On like Monday or Tuesday, she comes walking in with a San Antonio Spurs shirt on, and I'm like, I didn't remember her name at all. And I was like, oh crap, what is this girl's name? I'm like, Wemby! And she's like, yeah! I like put them on a poster, and she's like, yeah! And it... I did that. I know. I'm white. I'm sorry. But she was so excited about that I would do something for her and look the fool for it that on Friday she's like, this is my mom and dad. Will you let them take a picture of the two of us? And I'm like, yeah, I will. This is fine. Okay. And I'm like, she goes, you're going to be here next year, right? I'm like, God willing. And there's going to be pain next year too, but if only for that smile, right? If only, and there was way more serious things than I called a little girl Wemby and put her on a poster. There's going to be pain. So this morning, for the rest of the time, how can we find happiness in pain? How can I find happiness in pain? And that's a tough question. That's a real tough question, because we live in a broken world. Human suffering, pain, I personally think it's the number one reason why people don't believe in God, don't want to follow Jesus. Because if God was such a good God, why is there pain? And we don't have all the time in the world this morning to talk about that. Just real quick, in my own life, this may not be the same for you, but in my own life, 99% of the time, the reason I have pain in my life is because I'm stupid. It's because I'm dumb and I make dumb decisions. Let's go 98%. 1% of the time is because other people are dumb and make dumb decisions, and the other 1% is because Satan exists. So, just take that. If you want to have a conversation with somebody about why is there pain in the world, I offer Bob Hawkins as a tribute. He's way smarter and wiser than I am. That's just the Mike D. He can talk your ear off, and it's beautiful if he's got the time. If not, go hit up Alan. I'm just throwing all the other people under the bus. I'm not gonna have a voice by the end of this morning, just so y'all know. But how can I find happiness in pain? Well, I will find happiness in pain when I realize three things. And the first one is I will find happiness in pain when I realize that God is guiding me. What? If God is guiding me, why is there pain in my life? Well, let's talk about this. Let's look up Psalms 23 verses 1 through 5 first. It says this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Well, Mike, that doesn't sound like a lot of pain yet. I go, hold on. Give it time. Verse 4 says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." Oh, verse 4 is where the pain starts. Okay. "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. You're preparing a table before my enemies." Those things don't sound that fun. And when you think about a rod and a staff, I mean, the rod is just a club. And the staff, you know, the hook or stick where you pull the sheep. Those things are meant to train the sheep. Those things are not meant to be a comfort, but they are. David's writing them to be a comfort because God is helping him, guide him, making sure he's walking the way God wants him to walk, making sure he's taking the steps he needs to take. Look at Isaiah 30 verse 21, which I'm really excited about because if you know me, I dress like the Mandalorian for Battlehawks games, and you'll see what I mean in a minute. So Isaiah 30 verse 21 says that your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, "This is the way. This is the way. Walk in it. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left." God is guiding us. God is guiding us. Next week, this coming weekend, our family's leaving on our vacation. I know. You're like, you just got back from camp. You're already going to go on a vacation. I plan on sleeping a lot this week. It'll be fine. But we're leaving early Saturday morning, and we're going to go on this Western road trip. And we're doing a stop in Colorado Springs. And then we're going to drive up north, and we got a cabin in Driggs, Idaho, which is on the other side of the Tetons from Yellowstone. And we plan on going to Yellowstone for a few days. And then we're going to drive to Mount Rushmore and spend an evening there and see fireworks at Mount Rushmore. It's going to be great. We plan on going hiking. We plan on walking a lot, right? And if you've ever gone hiking, you know there's trail markers. There are trail markers to show you the way. The thing about those trail markers is they're not there to be a suggestion. They're saying, this is the path. This is the way. If you step off the trail, there is danger. I think of, was it last year or 2 years ago? We went to Johnson Shut-Ins, and we were walking on the trail, and there was a trail marker. And if you didn't stay on the trail, there was a cliff right here. And then there was a cliff right here on this trail. If I didn't stay on the trail, I was either running into a wall or falling off of one. Those trail markers are there because they know there's danger around. Last time we were in Colorado, we drove up this road called Old Fall River Road. It's only open a couple of months a year because it is literally a dirt path. And when you show up to it, they're like, four-wheel drive. You need four-wheel drive. And I was like, I got four-wheel drive. I got a truck. This is going to be fine. There is only room for your truck. Cliff. I don't like heights. Cassie's like, do you need to pull over and let me drive? I'm like, there's no place to pull over. We're fine. And I'm just like white knuckling it on my steering wheel. But it was one of the most beautiful things we've ever seen. Like there was little stops you could pull over and you could follow the river as it trickles down. There were waterfalls everywhere. But if I didn't stay on the trail, there was danger. God is the author of our life. He knows what way is the correct and best way to live. We call that righteousness. Righteousness is right and wise way of living. God designed life. He designed everything. He knows the best way to live my life. And he guides me and he tells me. And that's what the hook and the rod are for. It's to keep the sheep in line. Keep them on the path because he knows outside that path there's wolves. There's cliffs. There's danger. There's no food. There's no water where the shepherd doesn't lead them. He wants his sheep to live. I'm not calling you dumb. I'm calling me dumb. But sheep are dumb, and I as a sheep. They don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. They need a shepherd. I honestly don't know how sheep survived before shepherd. Maybe it was just sheer numbers and luck. But God wants to guide me. God wants to make sure I stay on the trail. He wants to make sure I stay on the path. And sometimes, I'm just speaking for me. Maybe it's not the same for you, but sometimes for me, he needs to inflict pain. He needs to use that rod. He needs to use that staff because he's guiding me and he wants me to be safe. And he wants to make sure that I stay on the right and wise path. So, number one, I can be happy when there's pain in my life. I can find joy because I know God is guiding me. And God doesn't guide those he doesn't love. By the way, he loves everybody. But he wants to make sure that I'm staying on the right path. So number one, God is guiding me. Number two, I will find happiness and pain when I realize that God is teaching and training me. God is teaching and training me. Psalm 23 verse 4, we just read it. I'm going to read it again. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. Isaiah 30 verse 20 says, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore, but your eyes shall see your teacher. And this is right before he says, this is the way, walk in it. God is teaching and training me. Our dog has a training collar. I don't know how many of you have dogs who have training collars, but we have found that this is the absolute best way to get her attention. Because if she focuses on something, she hears nothing else. That's very much like me. But we gave her this training collar, and it has three functions. We have a remote. First button does a little buzz, bzz, bzz, like your cell phone. And normally the buzz is all you need. She's going ham at a squirrel or a cat or a raccoon or a deer or a possum or a fox or a turtle. The turtle's the big one. She doesn't know what the turtle is, and every year on our anniversary, beginning of June, this turtle migrates through our yard. And I'm like, please, next year, just find a different path. That's all I'm asking, because it's 6 in the morning, and my dog is going ape. But we hit that buzz, and she, most of the time, will calm down. Second function is a beep. So if the buzz doesn't work, the beep almost always works because she knows what comes after the beep. So bzz, and then beep, and then she hears beep, she goes, oh, and she comes running back to the porch or the patio, and she's by the back door, usually. But then the collar's also got these two metal prods. And if the buzz and the beep don't work, the third button is a shock. And it's, if we have to get that far, it usually means that she is barking so loud at something that we're worried the neighbors are going to call the cops on us. And we'll hit that and she'll be, and then all of a sudden quiet. Now, we've also learned that our dog is incredibly stubborn. She's incredibly stubborn. The shock has levels. 1 to 7. And for it to work on her, it has to be above a 5. I'm not gonna say it. Not gonna say the 2 last numbers. But it has to be above a 5, right? Thank you. Thank you. That was, I'll see myself out. Because below a 6, she doesn't act like anything's happening. Like, she's got the buzz, she's got the beep, she's still going ham. The last time I had to do it, I think it was a deer in our backyard, and she thought she could take on a deer, which is also the reason she snapped her lead twice, because she saw a deer and she wanted to take on the deer. But anything below a 6 doesn't work. Like I said, my dog is a lot like me. God always has to pump it up to those 2 numbers on me if he can't get my attention. And I'll be like, God, oh God, okay God, I'm listening. Training and learning can be painful. Remember, I said I ran a mile and did 100 squats. I was not happy the next day. I was not skipping the next day. I was walking like I needed a cane the next day. I was a little bow-legged and a little slow. The guys at work were making fun of me, rightfully so, because I looked really funny, because it was hard to walk. It was hard to get up off of a chair. But by the time I recovered, I could tell I was getting stronger. I could tell I was improving. Sometimes God's word and God's people are going to cause pain in my life because I'm being trained. I'm being taught. Pain is an excellent teacher. And that's why scripture tells us spare the rod, spoil the child. Pain is an excellent teacher. I learned early on, don't reach up and grab a cookie off the tray when mom pulls it out of the oven, because you're going to get burned. I also learned this week, when Blythe burns her finger on the oven, don't run over and try to close the door real quick and bounce your arm off the wall and hit the door yourself. Pain is an excellent teacher. I am grateful for the pain that God has inflicted in my life to get me to stop what I'm doing. I am grateful for the teaching that God has given me through his word, through his people, through his spirit, because it has helped me grow. I'm not always happy at the moment because I hurt, but I am happy that it happened because it has made me a better person. It's made me a better man, a better Christian, a better husband, a better dad, a better brother. Pain is a great teacher, and I can be happy about being trained and taught. Number 3, I will find happiness in pain because God is healing me. I will find happiness in pain when I realize that God is healing me. In 1 Peter 5:8-10, it says this, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal joy in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Psalms 34 says this in verse 17-20. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. God is healing us. None of us come to Christ perfect. All of us come to Christ with hurts and habits and hang-ups. And God is healing us all. And healing does not always feel comfortable. Healing does not always feel comfortable. Look at Hebrews 4, 12 through 13 with me. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. The word of God is like a surgeon's scalpel. A couple months ago, my daughter Cara had surgery. We found out her ankle never formed correctly. And the surgeon went in with a scalpel and probably something a little sturdier than the scalpel because they broke her heel bone off, detached all the ligaments and tendons, screwed her heel bone back in, and reattached everything. That's why she's been all scooting and tiny timming around. She's got her crutches and a brace now, and she's healing. But she keeps coming to me, and she keeps like, Dad, my ankle's swollen. I go, that's because they broke it off and reattached it. It's fine. Dad, my ankles my toes are kind of turning purple. I'm like, you're healing. Dad, it hurts. Dad, it itches. Dad, it's sore. Dad, I'm worried about I'm not going to be able to do things. This week she has fundamentals camp for marching band. She's crying the other night because she's like, I'm not going to be able to do anything, and Mrs. C is going to be mad at me, and how am I going to? I go, breathe. We've already talked to Mrs. C. She said, do what you can do. As long as you're putting forth effort, she's happy. She knows what you've gone through. She saw you when you came back from the hospital. She has seen you move and keep trying. She's been so excited about that. But Dad, it hurts. This week her stitches kind of pulled a little right at the beginning, and Nurse Jenny got some Band-Aids and put them back together. And Friday night I'm getting ready for bed, I don't know. The days run together this weekend. And she's like, Dad, will you look at my incision? I'm like, yeah. And she pulls away her Band-Aids and her wrap and everything, and I'm like, that looks really good. And she's like, what? I go, I expected like this awesome scar. And I don't think you're going to have that bad of a scar. I think you're going to have a little of a scar, but man, that looks really good. You're not going to have a huge battle wound, but Dad, it hurts. Dad, it itches. Dad, it's healing. It's healing. Just because the bad part is gone doesn't mean the pain is going to be gone. And God's word cuts on me. And it should. God's word should cut on me. It can pierce me. It can pierce my life. It can show me what I need to change. Every time I have had surgery, pain came with it. Even after the surgery, there's pain, there's tenderness, there's bruising. I think of last year with my wife being in the hospital and having stuff cut out of her. Just all the gangrene and the nasty, the things that were going to kill her. My sin was going to kill me, and God's word cut it out of my life. Cassie's sickness was going to kill her, and the surgeons cut it out of her. But did she suddenly feel better 100% right after she woke up from anesthesia? No. No, she couldn't pick anything up. She couldn't do anything. She had to lay there. She had the little bag thing draining the wound. She was still hurting, but she wasn't dying. And God's word will cut on you, and it will challenge you. It'll light a fire under you. But if you've surrendered to Christ, that's great. That's good things, right? Even if you haven't surrendered to Christ, if it's challenging you and you look at the challenge, you're like, I'm going to do what that says. I'm not dying anymore. I still have pain, but I'm not dying anymore. God is healing me. God is healing me. When God exposed and excised the sin in my life, there was pain. And there was pain as I grew in the knowledge of God. That pain was evidence of my healing. That pain was evidence of what Christ had done for me and was doing in me. My life was changing, and I can be excited about that pain. Even now, I joke around, I'm hurting. Like, hey, my back just popped. I am hurting from camp. But don't let me joking around about me hurting detract you from me being so excited about what was happening at camp. Camp is this miraculous, beautiful place where Satan is scared. Satan is so scared of camp because these kids are separated from this fallen world for just a few days, where they are surrounded by adults who love Jesus and love them, even if they've never met them before. And they get to worship Jesus, and they don't have to worry about being made fun of, and they don't have to worry about what they look like, because we love them, because Jesus loves them. And yes, I'm in pain, but I am so more excited about what happened at camp. And I am so excited to hear what happens at junior week and what happens at senior week. It's going to be awesome because the word of God is preached. I still have sin that God is exposing and excising. And even now, there are growing pains in my life. And as we grow, we learn, and we're bound to stumble. That's part of life. However, not trying to grow because we're afraid of pain is also a problem. Stagnation, or remaining in the same spot on the path, is just as dangerous as leaving the path. Next week, if we go out to Yellowstone and we're walking on a path and we just decide to stay on that part of the path, we're not going to move. At one point, we're going to run out of water. At one point, we're going to get hungry. Who knows what animal is going to cross our path? It's just staying in place on the path is just as dangerous as leaving it. We have to keep walking. We have to keep moving forward with God. And just like staying in the path, ignoring pain is also dangerous. Maybe God is causing pain in my life to get me to change. I shouldn't ignore it. I should look into it. What's causing the pain? Just like with Cassie last year, there's something really wrong. There's this pain going on. I don't know what it is. Well, let's go to the ER. Let's get it checked out. There's something spiritually causing me pain. Well, let's check it out. While healing is not without pain and discomfort, the end result is so much better than not growing at all. Because the end result is me with Jesus, is you with Jesus. There can truly be happiness and pain. Let's look at this passage in Romans 8 as we start to close this morning. Starting in verse 18, Paul writes, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For this creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we await eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we have hope for what we do not see, we wait for patience." In this world we're going to have pain. And Paul doesn't say that that's a bad thing. He doesn't say that that's a bad thing. He's actually excited because he knows that after this life, after this body fails me, I'm going to have a redeemed body. I'm going to have a glorified body. And I'm going to look like I think I look now. I think I look great, but just wait, because this is the difference between men and women. Just ladies, just so you have an insight into the men's psyche. Women compare themselves, let's just say Barbie, because that's the stereotypical thing. Women look at Barbie and like, I look nothing like that. Men look at someone like He-Man and be like, that's what I look like. You're laughing because it's true. Paul is saying, I may think I look good now, but just wait till I get my glorified body. Watch out. There is hope coming. There is hope coming for those of us that are in Christ. This pain is temporary. My dad used to joke around with me when I would do sports and I'd complain that I'm hurting. And he said, pain is weakness leaving the body. Pain is temporary. And it's true. Because come the other side of the dirt, I ain't going to experience pain anymore. Scripture says he's going to wipe away every tear. That we will not feel pain. The world is going through birthing pains. We are awaiting the return of our King. And when he comes back, all of those who are his will no longer have pain. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. But I want you to catch that. For those that are his, if you are sitting here this morning and you are not his, you have not surrendered your life to Christ, I beg you, don't let the pain you're going through be for naught. Because as believers, we look at the world differently. We're different. And if you're not a follower, you might be thinking, that guy is crazy, talking about how he's excited about pain. He's excited about the pain that God causes in his life, about the pain that we see in the world, because it's healing him, it's training him. It's hard to understand if you don't already know. If you're not already a Christ follower, the joy set before Christ, he endured the cross. And I'm supposed to be like that? I'm supposed to endure pain with joy? As a follower of Christ, I see the world as fallen, imperfect. It's not what God wanted. It's not how God designed it. He didn't want us to go through pain. And right now, he is working to make all things new. He is working to bring everyone into him. Some people aren't going to choose that. And he's a good, gracious God. He is a gentleman. He will not force himself on you. You have to choose him. You have to choose him. And he is working to give everyone a chance at salvation. You can have that opportunity too. God wants to use all things for the good of those who love him, even their pain. Even their pain. If you have yet to surrender to him, today is a great day to do that. You can talk to whoever invited you to church. You can talk to whoever brought you. You can talk to whoever sitting next to you. And they would love to be like, yeah, let's open up scripture. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about how God wants to use that pain. You see, because scripture tells us we will have sorrow in this world, but he has overcome the world. He has overcome it. And you can start walking with him today, and God can start using that pain today. Just this week, God has used past hurts to help someone at camp in a cabin. And it wasn't even a kid, it was a counselor. God has used past hurts to help someone, to encourage them, to grow. And you can have that this morning. There's nothing stopping you from asking, what can I do? What can I do to have that life, to have that joy? In your bulletin, there is a prayer card. And it's a great opportunity to communicate with us, to be like, hey, Mike was talking about I could surrender my life to Christ today. What does that look like? Hey, I need prayer in this area. I would like more information on this area. Fill out the communication card. Fill out the prayer request. We don't just talk about all the prayers. There's a prayer team that prays over it. It's really beautiful. And if you fill out your information and you need someone to contact you, somebody will. Somebody will contact you. And it might take a couple of days. We're not perfect. But someone will be in contact and talk about what you need. What can we do to help you? And in the back, there's some baskets. You can put that communication card in the baskets. And if you're a guest here this morning, we didn't ask you to come give us something. We want to give you something. You're going to see our members put their offerings in those baskets with the communication cards. If you're a guest, please don't worry about giving anything to this church. We didn't bring you here to get something. We want you to have something this morning. And I hope and pray that God has spoken to you this morning. He's given you something to think about, and that this week you can look at pain in your life differently. Maybe God's nudging you to seek him. Maybe God allowed something to happen so you could turn to him. The scripture says he is not far from us. He is right there with us. And if you just turn to him, he's there to accept you. Accept you for who you are right now. And he loves you too much for you to stay that way. He wants to make you better and whole. And he wants to bring you into the fold, bring you into the family, so that we can all... We were talking this morning about the reunion in heaven. Oh man, it's going to be a party. There's going to be music blasting. There's going to be food. Jesus is going to be there. It's going to be awesome. And I pray that one day we can all be there. Let's pray as we close. Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for pain. It is such a great teacher. Thank you so much for using everything to glorify you, God, for the betterment of us, God. You work. You were always working. I praise you for things like camp, where your name is just praised, God. You are lifted up and you are worshiped. Thank you for this family that you have given us here. I pray for those who are on trips that they are safe. Those who are suffering through illness, that you heal them, Father. For those that are working through loss, that you bless them and help them in their mourning process. I pray for those that are hearing this message, that whatever they're going through, they can turn their eyes to you, God, that you can work for their good, and that we can all seek you, whether we are yours already or we're not, that we're seeking you, Father, that we keep our eyes on you, the author and perfecter of our faith, and that we look forward with joy at whatever is coming, because we know that we are yours and that you hold us, Father, that you take care of us as a good father does. I pray when hard times come that we can turn our eyes to you. We can see the joy. And God, I pray for this world. Every day it seems more broken and more fallen. I pray that your people are out there sharing your good news of your kingdom. I love you, Father. In your name I pray. Amen.
All that I am, all that I have, I lay them down before you. Making them yours, and Lord, I offer my life to you. Everything I've been through, use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. Yet unseen, wishes and dreams that are yet to come true. All of my hopes, all of my plans, my heart and my hands are lifted to you. And Lord, I offer my life to you. Everything I've been through, use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my life. That's what we give to you, Lord. Oh, and Lord, I offer my life to you. Everything I've been through, use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice.